Notice as I look around this morning that many of you, maybe most of you, were here last evening as we heard and shared together some of the most familiar and most comforting words in the whole Bible. We heard together the Christmas story where Mary and Joseph travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and while they're there, Jesus is born, and Mary lays him in a manger because there is no room for them in the inn. We gather together this morning with the words of the angels still ringing in our ears, the good news of great joy that will be for all the people, that unto us is born this very day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. One of the beautiful and complicated things about our Bible is that the Bible is written by many different people from many different perspectives and in multiple voices. And last night we got to hear a story, a great story, told by Luke, the storyteller. This morning we hear a bit about the same story, but we hear it not from a storyteller, but from a theologian. This morning we'll read from the Gospel of John. Now Luke and John are both talking about the very same event, the same gift from God, but the storyteller and the theologian do so in different language. And even though John's words to us today are some of the most complex and beautiful and theologically sophisticated words in the whole Bible, on this Christmas morning, it seems possible to me that there are things that we would rather hear than a lesson on theology. And so while I'll spare you the full exegetical explanation of the Greek word logos, which means word, I will spare you the half-hour seminary lecture on John's Christological theology as well. But in exchange, you have to come with me, and you have to agree to embrace and welcome just one very theological, very churchy word. It's a word that there's a fair chance that you have heard before, even if it's a word that you maybe haven't given a great deal of thought to. The word does not appear in Luke's telling of the Christmas story that we read yesterday, and the word also does not appear in the John text that I'm going to read in just a moment. But this word is what both of these texts are about. Indeed, this word is the reason that the Gospels were written at all. The word of the day, is incarnation. Incarnation is a great big and very churchy word that simply means embodied in the flesh. It's one of the central beliefs. It's one of the core tenets of Christianity. It's the word that means that Jesus is both human and God. Not just that Jesus was born inside a human, but that Jesus was born as a human. When we say that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God, we're talking about the incarnation, the embodiment in flesh of that which is holy. I promise that that's as deep as we're going to dive into the theology lecture this morning, but in order to understand what John is talking about in the text that I'm about to read, we need to know and we need to embrace this word, incarnation. And with that as way of preface, I wonder if you will join me in a prayer for illumination. Let's pray together this morning. Startle us, O God, with your truth, and open our hearts and our minds to your wondrous love. Speak your word to us, silence in us any voice but your own, and be with us now as we turn our attention, our hearts, and our minds to you in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen. Our scripture for this morning comes to us as promised from the Gospel of John in the first chapter, beginning in the first verse. John opens his gospel with these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's got a really nice ring to it, doesn't it? It sounds very biblical, very churchy, very gospel-y, if you ask me. But please, please, please don't ask us what on earth it means. The word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Right, that's the incarnation that we were talking about, isn't it? See, Pastor, we were listening along. Now, can we please go back to singing more verses of Away in the Manger? I mean, I don't know what your morning has been like up to this point, but in our house, Santa Claus came. And Bap-Bap is here, and there's already wrapping paper all over the place in our living room. And that's not our living room, by the way. We haven't even gotten to play with all of our new toys yet. It's a busy place in our house again today, and I know for sure that our house isn't the only one. It's been busy, and it's been hectic, and it's been fun as we opened some presents and as we played a bit with some of our new toys and as we hurried to get ready for church and rushed here to worship with you this morning. Now maybe your morning was a little bit like that, or maybe your morning has been a little bit more low-key. But in any case, you came here this morning. You came to worship on Christmas morning when the calendar and the culture and even some communities of the church told you to go ahead and stay home and open presents and drink coffee and spend time with your family. And I'm not sure why you came this morning. Maybe you came to sing Christmas hymns and to hear Christmas stories. Maybe you came to get some Christmas hugs. Maybe you came because it's Sunday and this is what you do on Sundays. And maybe you came because it's a little bit too quiet in your house on Christmas and you were glad for the opportunity to be with people. And all of those, by the way, are very, very fine reasons to be in worship this morning. But of course, there could be theological reasons that you are here as well. Maybe you came because just like Mary, you still wonder, how can this be? Maybe you haven't yet figured out how to wrap your head around the idea of God as a baby, as though any of us could ever wrap our heads around an idea like that. Maybe you're a little surprised, or a little skeptical, or a little confused, and you wonder, what is all this incarnation stuff? And the more that you lean into it, and the more that you listen to the words of the different biblical writers, the more you might even ask the question, who should we believe? Because let's face it, these stories aren't exactly the same. If you were here last night and you're here this morning, you've noticed that Luke and John tell this story very differently. When Luke describes the incarnation, he describes it from the human side. He says this. He says, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. But when John tackles the very same subject, he looks at it from the holy side. And he says, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So it's worth wondering and maybe even asking the question, who should we believe? Who is right? And of course, the answer is always that they are both right, because the mystery of the incarnation can't be explored only from one side or the other. Incarnation does not mean that a human being just does really, really, really well and becomes wiser and more morally advanced than all of the other human beings. And incarnation does not mean that God simply picks a human to come and live inside, as though God were wearing a disguise that looks like Jesus, but is really just God wearing a man suit. The incarnation doesn't mean either one of those things. It means that the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Incarnation means embodied in the flesh. It means not just God with us, but God as us, God in us. In this event in Bethlehem, when Mary gives birth, something brand new and apocalyptically big happens. In this quiet night, the human and the holy collide and enmesh in a body, in a baby's body. And forever, the relationship between God and humanity is changed. Four worship services in 16 hours will do a lot to your voice. Never again does God belong in heaven while people belong on earth. For God is embodied. God is on the loose right there in Bethlehem and right here in Ozaukee County. This is the giant cosmic mystery that the great poetry of the Christmas hymns whisper about. This is the moment of heavenly peace. This is the event that makes heaven and nature sing. It's the reason that there are angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is the triumph of the skies. This is what Eugene Peterson famously paraphrased with the phrase that's in front of you: the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. In the most ordinary, the most unexpected way, God broke into human history, active and holy and bodied up inside a tiny little baby. That was the incarnation. At least that was the incarnation at the beginning. Because since that time, there has never been a time when God has stopped being embodied. If you are here in worship on Christmas morning, then there is a very good chance that you have been to church enough times to know that that little baby grew up to be a teacher and a healer and a prophet and a savior. The incarnation began with the birth in Bethlehem, but it did not end there. And it didn't end with Jesus' teachings or his miracles, and it didn't even end with his death on the cross or with his resurrection from the dead. Because in the incarnation, the rules governing heaven and earth changed forever. And God didn't disappear back up into heaven when Jesus ascended. God is still embodied right here where we live. It's never a joke when we say that the church is the body of Christ. God is still moving. God is still speaking through imperfect and aging and sometimes wrinkled and weak bodies just like ours. The incarnation, friends, was unique, and the incarnation is permanent. The Word became flesh and dwells among us. Right now, today, that's why it is that we gather our bodies to worship together. Even on Christmas Day, even on New Year's Day, even when it is cold and snowy outside, even on the 4th of July, we gather together because we are the body of Christ and individually members of it. That's why we gather. That's why we do what we do today. It's why we do everything that we do as a church. It's why we do mission trips. It's why we give away our money. It's why we teach Sunday school and have Christmas parties for underprivileged kids and baptize those whom God has called and do 100 other things to share God's love, because God works in us and through us. The incarnation is not over, and we get to be participants. We get to be members and parts of that body, participating in the redemptive work of God. That's the meaning of the incarnation. Not just God embodied, but God in our bodies. God in our work, in our lives. Incarnation is a big word, to be sure. It is the Word that became flesh and dwells among us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.